Okay, so where we left off last was the Ramram, right? So we just finished discussing basically the first possibility we mentioned in understanding what the Ramram is saying in Shita regarding the Makor of this din is that the halacha here is purely derabanan, right? Shei Kesef is only a chi of derabanan. You're not Torah. It would even be sufficient for you to simply have a hadar of a cover. What the Ramam says, Minat Torah, when he says that, so the halacha mission had is one suggestion that maybe, again, the person is the first halacha, Chayav Shua Minat Torah. The halacha mission says it means only about the hadar of Bruta. We suggested instead maybe he means that it's a Shua shel Torah. The Shua is the Shua of Shua Sadayana, which was the one that makes us. That's as opposed to the Mikelarm, Dinho. That's as opposed to Halacha Maisa, the fact that you really are Chayav Shua Derabana. In this case. So around here is just saying, you're not Chayav Shua Deraisa, meaning B'nik Yitzchevetz. So that was one possibility, right? Those two explanations of what Minotaur means, but essentially around really just thinks the whole thing is Derabanan. As to how he can think of Derabanan, these are Asmachas, right? Why you would think that? Could be a variety of reasons. Left mission goes through some of them. The Limudu are not that compelling, etc., etc. Or there's really other things that we learn from them. Alternatively, and this is what we just finished off with, was the possibility of saying that that really the whole thing is deraisa. It's really the deraisa. What does it mean then when the Rambam says it means divrehen? Right. So what that means is just the fact. It's just referring to the fact that the limud, the derech limud of this din deraisa was from the Gittin Gimelus and Drashus Behen, and this is Lashitas Rambam, who the Rambam as understood by many Gedolim. Betobim, who interpret the Rambam from the Rashbats and on, as believing that these things are the Dvarim Shinomadim Midrashos, Midrashatar Nidreshben, or just other just interpretations, readings, these are all Deraisa, but Rambam will still call them Midrashos. For me, it has Nafkaminas, the one major Nafkamina that is, the Zohar points, it's just not really, it's not a candidate to be on the list of Mitzvos Shinemru Lemosha Misinai. Inasmuch as they themselves were not yet formulated at Sinai, they were the raw material for them was there, but they themselves were not specifically formulated. It means midaraisa. It's just how do you know it from the divrei hasofer, the rabbanim. The problem we said, and assuming that general position and interpretation of the Rambam, also assuming I didn't even mention this, but I pointed to you that the Yad Malachi points out that there were apparently some who thought divrei sofrim could mean that it's deraisa, just how you know it, but mean divreim or mean derabanan, that never does. That always means that it's a legislation mean derabanan. The reason for that, I think, would be simple, meaning you could ask, what mean divreim, how is that different than mean divrei sofrim? I think the argument would be mean divrei chachamim, which Ram also uses, right, that formulation. That means midirabanan, and the reason for that is because that has to do with non-interpretation of legislation, right? Whereas sofrim can be either, has to do with interpreting svar. The midirei chachamim means midirabanan, and midirehen means midirei chachamim, not midirei sofrim. Hey, either way, the Kiryat Sefer, like many others, as the Yad Malachi points out, didn't assume such a thing. Thought that midirayim is also possibly the same as midiray sofrim, and in the Rosh, again, under the model of the Rashbats, it means that we're dealing with the din deraisa. Just the derech limudo is something that chachamim had to come to. But that's what's going on here. The issue we mentioned with this is that that theory seems to leave something to be unsettled here, which is then how is it doing what the Rambam is citing? It is doing here. The fact that it's midirayin, the Rambam doesn't just simply say it's midirayin. He says that because it's midirayin, therefore the shir was able to be translated into, or was able to be something which wouldn't normally be the shir of a din Torah. Ma'az, says the Rambam, right? He agreed with those who held Ma'az was not kesaturi, right? It wasn't a dinar either, a shekel, but Ma'az. The Kesuri wasn't dinar or shekel, but it's not because it's not ma'ah. So the ma'ah is something that the Rabban came to because it's not a din deraisa. It's only midirayin. Now, if you're just taking Midirayin to mean the Derech Limud of this drasha, but it's a Din Deraisa, it's a Din that's fully Midiraisa, where does that leave us? I don't know. So that was what we left off with, right? Correct? Did anybody think about that overnight, come up with something? So I think the alternative way to go is to say that, and this ultimately I think is probably the most compelling, in my opinion, is to say that there's something in between here. That, in particular, I think what we could argue is that the Rambam essentially read the Gemara the way we understood the Rav Zusha Rashi. Although, again, not with the problem, and some of this is what the Mishnah himself says, not with the problem regarding what is Kesef Turi, but just how to get to Maha. And the point being that what the Rambam is, and what the Rambam is saying here is that had the Torah said that, had the Torah meant Kesef in the sense of not money, but in the sense of particular coinage, or the value of particular coinage, or in this case where it's Shvei Kesef too, the value of the particular coinage, had that been what was intended by the Torah, so then the answer it would have been for the Ram Shekel, not Ma'ah. But that's not what was said in the Torah. Okay? That was not what was said in the Torah. What was said in the Torah clearly isn't that. Why not? How do I know that? And I think, again, the Rambam I'm arguing is reading it like the Rosh Hashanah Rashi, which what we suggested for them was because Chashav makes no sense, right? But the Gemara's answer, the Gemara Kedushin answers this question, how do you get the Ma'az if it's not Kesef, if Ma'az is not Kesef Suri? And the Gemara's answer was by citing this line. Ma'kelim, Ma'kesef the Rav Chashav, I'm sorry, Kelim the Rav Chashav, Av Kesef the Rav Chashav. What is chashuv if you're telling me so too $2 which are chashuv, the $2 value which is chashuv, meaningless, right? So obviously then kesef does not mean, right, this is a Rosh Hashanah and I'm arguing around too, kesef does not mean the value of particular coinage, but rather it simply means money, right? It simply means money, and therefore it. And what the Rambam would be then saying, this is what I'm arguing with Midirayin here, what essentially the Rambam understood was the Torah's, the actual Deraisa principle here was you need a Dabar Chashuv. You need a Kesef Chashuv. Mamon Chashuv, I should say. Just to clarify that one, right? You need Mamon Chashuv. That's what the Torah tells us. You don't just have a Chiyuv, Shuas Mamon Mixas, we'll see in Susan, maybe more, maybe not. You don't just have a Chiyuv for any amount of money, it's got to be significant. That was the Deraisa. Now, what we argued in the context of Rosh Hashanah was just, was a little bit, you know, the derisa was kind of unformulated, chashivas was indicated, and the Rabbanim kind of filled in the detail. But I'd argue for the Rambam is that there's an element there of the Rabbanim in the sense that min haTorah, the only principle that exists actually, all that's required in the Torah is chashiv, mam chashiv, that's it. There's nothing further. The Rabbanim didn't, you know, further, you know, just interpret the derisa. So they're not interpreting that to mean, but there's, what they're doing, I would argue, is not really interpretation, but rather legislation which translates that. It's legislation. I mean, the Torah doesn't say what it is, what is required. It just says it needs to be chashuv. How does that get translated? The Rabbanan legislated what it means to be chashuv. Rabbanan give specific parameters to the deraisa principle, which was sort of amorphous, and said, it's not just chashuv, we need you to have two men. But once that was the case, that the Rabbanim were coming along on their own and translating on their own how this deraisa principle is to be implemented, and they're giving their own specific legal parameters. These specific legal parameters are derabbanim, are midirayim. But what they're doing is kind of translating, giving specific application of the deraisa principle of chashivas. What they're saying is, Torah says chashuv, we're going to give you what the chashuv means. We want you, means, I shouldn't say that. We're going to give you what the chashuv is. Chashuv is, in our estimation, it's the amount of tumen. That's not a deraisa shear because it's not a deraisa legislation. The Rabbanim here are coming to legislate in particulars that which min haTorah is just formulated as a general principle with more general, sort of amorphous parameters. Right, so the principle min haTorah was you need chashivas, mama chashuv. That's what the Torah says. It says yeshiva mama chashuv. That left somewhat of a. I mean, here's You might consider something like a Moser Torah, Moser Torah Chachamim, but not as interpretation. They just left it as, well, what does that mean, Mamon Chashuv? Maybe what would you have said before the Rabbanim came along? Maybe it would have been just what each particular Dayan thinks is Chashuv. Or you should just think of it, okay, that's really significant. Who knows? The point is, the Rabbanim came along, it didn't leave it to that. It said, okay, we're going to tell you what Chashuv is. We're going to legislate what Chashuv is. We're only going to be Mechad Shvuah if there's too many. So once it was the case that it was not a Din D'oraisa, in what sense? In the sense that the amount of money was being specified in the Torah, which it would have been, right, had we not had the Chashivas element to it, right, had the Torah not said Chashuv, it not indicated its initial Chashivas, we would have said, so then Kesef here means silver coinage. The Torah is telling you this year. You don't have to worry about what was the Chashivas. The Torah just says two Kesefs. If Kesef had meant coinage, it would have been Shekel Kodesh. It didn't. It meant Mammon. How do I know that? Because it said Chashuv. So the principle is you need Mammon Chashuv. The Rabbanan came along and they said, you know, we're going to legislate what that is. That is too many. Now, this notion of, you know, and that being defined as Midivrayan, so in a sense, it's both, right? It's Minotaurah, the principle is Minotaurah. The specific application with those specific parameters is Midivray. This, I think, is a pattern in the Rambam. You do find this, I believe, elsewhere, where the Rambam will describe exactly this sort of phenomenon, this sort of role of the Rabbanan in doing this, as Midivray. The mashal I gave you, I think, the clearest one is, the other example is in with respect to the mitzvah of Bahadurah Kamoka. Right, the Rambam, again, it's another place where it sounds like at first it's Dabar Hipucho, again saying Doraisa Dorabanan. But the Rambam, at least here, is clearly calling attention to it. So you know that it's not just something to puzzle that, you know, the Rambam doesn't seem to. He says, put them together. Right, but what he says is, right, in Hilzavel, that mitzvahs aseh shel divrayim levakir cholim menachem aveilim, right? All these things are mitzvahs aseh shel divrayim. Then he says, right, l'sasu v'chol tzor k'rifu, l'sasu v'chol k'asef, l'sasu adam v'chol tzor chayim, l'sasu me'ach l'sasu m'kala, right? Where does that chiv simple, right? The Rambam gives you, a particular legal classification of that. The chiv l'sasu me'ach l'sasu m'kala is a din. The din, the Rabbanan, right? That the Rabbanan instituted. But the Rambam explains, right, with Sadam Machot Sarkayim, Yelim Gmil Sadam should be Gufo Shenam Shiur. Afa Pi should call it Mansus Elim Divrayim. He doesn't just say in the end what would have let us. He says, Afa Pi that they all are Divrayim, Hare Hain, Bechlal, Adler Kamocha. So they're Divrayim, but even so they're still Bechlal, so they're not Divrayim. So Adler Kamocha requires these things, apparently. Right? Call Adram Shatar with Seshi, Yasu Asam Lacha, Acharim, Asay Ata Asan, Lachi Chilbetar Mitzos. But despite the fact that Rambam called attention to it, it doesn't really explain it. So wait, in one sense are these Divrayim, in one sense they're not Divrayim. One sense they're... Is there a mitzvah about... Am I required to be Menachem Aveilim Mitzah Midoraisa? For this Rambam, just from what I read, it's like... hard to know. On one hand, he says it's a mitzvah Shei Divrayim. On the other hand, he says it's Pachal Mitzvah Avtar Kamocha, which is Nidor. I think the answer to this, though, is already indicated in Sefer Mitzvos in Shor Beis, actually, which I just called attention to the fact that he mentions it there, when he says that the Bahag is wrong to list Nichum Avelim and you know, all these Gemilas Sadim things, right? He's wrong to list them as independent Mitzvos on the list of Taryag, not because they're Derabanan. When he challenges, he doesn't say because they're Derabanan. He says they're not Mitzvos B'Pnei Atzmam, meaning, and here now you're supposed to read them together with what the Rambam says, as Mitzvos. As mitzvahs b'nei atzman, they are derabanan. Right? No, they are derabanan as mitzvahs b'nei atzman. They are. I don't say they're not mitzvahs b'nei atzman. Ela kulam nechnas b'tachas v'atrecha k'mocha. One mitzvah. So the point is, as mitzvahs, independent mitzvahs, as specific command to v'atrecha cholim. So that specific mitzvah singling out the act of bikur cholim, there is no such mitzvah min haTorah. Rather, what is Minatora is the principles, the general principle. Do to others what you would have done to yourself. That's all that's there, Minatora. Is just that principle. The legislation that came from the Ribbono Shel Olam's desk was you have a chiyuv to do what other you would do to your to others, what you'd want done for yourself to do to others. That's your chiyuv. So I ask, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam command me? I'd say that. Translating that in particulars, giving them particular parameters, what it means is you have a chiyuv to be mevakir cholim. As opposed to leaving it to sort of, you know, a person's kind of, you might say, thinking, what do I want to do? The Rabbanan came along and removed that kind of discretion from it. and said, no, you have a chiyuv levakir cholim. Am I being mekayim daraisa? Yes. It's not just that you're being mekayim daraisa. I would say you're somewhat mechuyev min haTorah, but the mechuyev min haTorah was only by virtue of the fact that it kind of fits into the more amorphous general, you know, instruction to do what you would have done to yourself to others. Again, point being, how do I apply that? Well, I mean, the general, if I'm just thinking about a daraisa, I'm thinking whatever I want for myself. So then I have to think about what do I want for myself. All that was the Rabbanim came along and legislated particular actions. These are sort of giving form specifics, right? Specific applications, parameters to things which are sort of, yes, required in the Torah, but not as specified in the Torah, I should say. They're required, but not specified. They're specified in the Rabbanim, given, you know, sort of uniform application, specific legislation, to give parameters to something which was bichlal, was, you know, part of a daraisa principle, but unformed, part of an inchoate kind of broader to what you have done to others. The Rabbanim came along and gave particular parameters to that. So I would argue that the midrei in there is exactly what I'm saying is what they're doing here as well. What they're doing is Torah said something which is kind of on its own a little bit amorphous. To be the application is not specific. The Rabbanim came along and provided the particular parameters. What is specifically required here? That's a legislation in your Rabbanim because minatory you don't have being vakifolim. All you have is do what you have unto others. It's a more general principle. The Rabbanim came along and said, what does that mean? You're requiring this and this. And that means they give pretty good parameters for it. So the point being, it's a din d'oraisa, yes, but the particular parameters of do this is the Rabbanim. So in this case, right, and that's as far as Craig Dodd, and as far as we're concerned, I would argue, therefore, similarly, Mamu Chashuv is Minatorah. Shir Shtei Men is Midivrayim. That's the Rabbanan's translation of what was sort of inchoate into particulars. Yeah.
Meaning, there's obviously the similarity is, you know, as you said, broader application to the Rabbanan's formulation. With when it comes to the Mamo and the Shtei Men, it's the Rabbanan's interpretation is important. It's necessary. We don't know what Chashuv means.
I don't think it's interpretation.
Not interpretation. Formulation or legislation.
Yeah, legislation. Because they're not saying the Torah had this in mind. Right. Torah had in mind Chashuv. It needs to be Chashuv.
That's
the quality that isn't given to particulars. We right. gave particulars to it, not as interpretation.
So that's yet. Necessary because you wouldn't know what Chashuv means.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's necessary in what's. I don't know if you would say it's. You could argue it's necessary, and that would be kind of like a
Muslim.
You could also argue maybe the Torah had in mind that a person just make sure it's significant, whatever happens to be.
Yeah, but there's a nafkamin. I mean, the nafkamin is whether you require Rishua or not. When it comes to Paphtalek and Kamukha,
who decides whether that's true? The particular Bezin who's applying the case.
So
I'm saying, I'm giving an argument. I'm saying what you're saying is might be true, may not necessarily, but it's not necessarily.
Okay, so either
because one could argue maybe what the Torah had in mind was, let's say, in the case of Mitzvahs. Just make sure it's chashuv. What is chashuv? Whatever, however you come out with the chashuv, just make sure it's chashuv. Just not any amount of money.
So the question...
Does that mean a little bit more than that? Whatever you think.
So the question
I don't see why that... I mean, the point is, we'll get to... I mean, it could have implications about the nature of the din. I think it does. The point is chashuv. But the point is that maybe the Torah sort of left it to be applied variously. The point was it had to be chashuv. It wasn't just... Right? But I'm saying that's possible. And then you would argue that... it wasn't necessary for them to come, but they did either way. Yeah.
So my question is then: Why is? What's the point then? Why would Rabban come along? If I already would have known Bikur Cholim as a chiyuv, perhaps the Rechak Kamocha just wasn't formulated as its own chiyuv. So what are they doing? Is it just too much?
A number of things.
Idea?
Number of things. Number one. Meaning? Number one. A number of things. Number one. They are. Yes, I don't know if it's one of the options you mentioned. I'm removing it from the discretion of each kol ish v'ish. A person may not realize that that's something that's required of him.
Bikur cholim. And he might not view it as himself. I might not want.
Who knows what a person's going to think? I don't want people. I don't like people. I mean, it sounds very practical, but it's probably true. Some people are not social animals. Torah wants you to be bikur cholim, probably right. We can't necessarily assume that everybody's going to realize that. Or if you want, look, in this day and age, it's right, everybody, you have people that are constantly asking, Rebbe, do I need to do this, that, or the other thing? When, the Rebbe would just say, use your discretion. But people want to know. I mean, the Rabbanim wanted to know. Discretion is something it could be a little bit uncomfortable having. Give us parameters. We want to know. What do we have to do? It could also be that. So it's not a question so much of we wanted to make sure it happens and otherwise it may not. It's also perhaps answering a spiritual need. A little bit more direction is necessary. Maybe it's unfortunate, but even if it's unfortunate, it's true. People need more direction. So Rabbanim came along and gave you specific direction. I think that would be true for the Perek Gedalet, Hilchos Avot. It's here, I don't know if it would be a spiritual direction question, more than it would be just universalizing the law. My argument would be, or translating into particular, Lamaisa, how do I do this? So maybe the Torah had in mind a specific thing, maybe it didn't. The Rabbanim are going to come along and provide the fill in the gap.
There's really just a heuristic help. It's not really like...
What?
It's like a help for people to be able to formulate...
Which case are we talking about?
There's a lot of... The first case you could be able to deal with. The first case of... of shtema and could be argued one way or another. I'm talking about like Rikro Cholim, for example.
Right.
So there's no halachic nafkamina now that it's formulated X, Y, or Z. Meaning the principle was always.
That's not necessary. I didn't say there's no halachic nafkamina. You asked why are they doing it?
Okay.
Yeah, there could be halachic nafkaminas. But I'll leave that. I mean, they could also give particular parameters to that. Once it's subject to the Rabbanans, at least the legislation, their legislation might have particular parameters to Rikro Cholim, Nichomim, etc. They also might be Koveya, Sidre de Vio. That would also be potentially an afamina. So one, so I can then tell you which one comes first, right? Maybe on a Deraisa level, that doesn't exist. It's all Yasa, not favor. How do you even weigh that? But once you're dealing with, this is a Chiyu de Rabbanan, so maybe the Rabbanan will say, this comes before that, that comes before that. That's something which they can more comfortably do, let's say, if they're dealing with their own legislation, than what they'd be doing otherwise. Unless you just, right? I mean, there could be other Nakaminas. This comes up in other contexts too. This notion, the Ramban makes this something which he takes this idea also, I think, very clearly is something of what the Ramban has in mind also regarding Shvusim, regarding Muksa, as an example. Regarding other various Shvusim, that on the one hand, these are Minat Torah, because he held Shabbosim. Shabbosim means even from things that aren't Malachas, right? On the other hand, and that's how he explains Mechiltas and Midrashim, which seems to say that Dine Muksa are Deraisa. His answer was this sort of idea.
Cholmoi also.
Huh?
Cholmoi potentially, no?
Yeah. Potentially. There the Gemara calls it a Masa Dov HaChamim, but that's my focus whether or not it is the right sort of thing. According to some Rishonim, that's just a pure Darabah. So if it's not pure Darabah, so then it could be something similar to this. But so there could be Nakaminas. The Nakaminas. Yeah. I mean, they're not. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, the simple nachmin is it's no longer subject to any discretion, no longer subject to, I have a specific fee. It's an opportunity of having a specific fee to do something. Beforehand, it's kind of something you might have to be doing, but there's no specific fee about it. It's just part of a more general principle that kind of, right, I mean, A is subject to people's, insight. Spiritual insight, social insight. Maybe people don't realize that most people like to have visitors when they're sick. A. B. It's also not something which now you have to sort of wonder about and kind of figure out. Even if you're going to come to it, it's just a chiyuv derabanan. You have to whatever it is. It's the right you have to chiyuv derabanan. So the nachmini could just be in making clear what you're chiyuv. And then as I say, but once you have parameters, it might where it will be there are nachminis. They have more control over, let's say, internally. Okay. Yeah.
I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
It's a concept which is hard to... But I mean, that's... I think that, is it derived or bun? Like we're saying. I once asked her a little continuing question about this. Are you saying it's a kumis in Minotaur?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
So he said no. He's saying it's required in Minotaur. It's not just a kumis. So it's more subtle than that. It's not... And that I understood what you meant. I mean, it's not that... This is just something that if you do it, you're a chiyuv minotaur, but there's no chiyuv to do it. On some levels, you have a chiyuv to do it, but the point is that it's chiyuv is not specific to it, it's just in as much as you would qualify under the general principle. The Rabbanan just said you have a chiyuv of lakar chol. That was the chiyuv. Right, that was what the mitzvah, as mitzvah b'fnei atzma, it made it a mitzvah b'fnei atzma midrash. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's exactly what I want to
say. Yeah.
Meaning, according to the Rabbanan, who legislated after Ef Kamocha, meaning chiyuv midivrei.
I don't know if I would say meaning. I don't know why I would say that. I'm saying, I'm not sure it has to be that. It could just be, We're ring of ivy.
Fine.
Yeah.
But what are those things? If you do one of them, but not are they mutually exclusive? If you are you not makayim the mitzvah after Ef Kamocha in the Torah? If you don't do all of them, if you don't do everything, then the Kum or Machayev.
No, but that's not that, unique to there being these Zervans or not.
No,
the general call of the Rambam has, you know, points out the general call is you have chalaki mitzvah, they're not necessarily makim. You have to know the makim.
But that's,
this is
that's
one of the Torahim in Zervintos is, and he gets it from Tchelis Halak, which Gemara says are on one hand one mitzvah, on the other hand not makim.
So would you say the same thing by shteimin?
We need a limit to tell us that let's say luach, let the dalad minim are makim zedzeh.
By shteimin,
even though they're one mitzvah,
makim zedzeh. By shteimin,
yeah.
Shteimin is a sheer midivrayim.
Yeah. It's a sheer midivrayim of a principle which is minatar.
I know. So what would you say? Would you you haven't fulfilled? Saying it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Saying those things seem more to be ma'akiv zedzeh than
ma'akiv zedzeh.
If you don't have shteim in,
so the base is not going to be ma'akiv. Yeah, I'm not sure I follow the.
I'm just trying to figure out if you're trying to say the same line of logic that the chacham legislated chiyuv. Which is
they legislated a shear.
A shear from which is
for a chiyuv.
For a chiyuv.
That chiyuv had a principle in the Torah. This is a shear for this is a shear mirabanan to that principle which didn't have a specific shear in the Torah. That's what I think.
Fine. So the Ma'akvin Zedza is not necessarily
it's not
necessarily important. I mean, it's not necessarily gonna be a
I mean, the point is that the Torah says it has to be Mamma Kashuv. In as much as that was the formulation, the Rabbanan. You might say that the Torah was basically saying, and you were running to legislate. I'm saying that could be. That it was just a kind of a Moser Chum in that sense that the Torah invited the Rabbanim to come and fill in the blank. For something that needs to be filled in. Because you can't just have it that some people say Chashuv this, Chashuv that. Right? Maybe not. Maybe it needed Rabbanim. But either way, it was the Rabbanim that came along and gave you particular numbers. What the numbers are, that the Rabbanim came along and did. I don't know if it's interpreting. They legislate. Truth be told, Masur Torah Lechachamim, even among those who think it's Minatara, I mean, that's one of the chidushim of those who think it's Minatara, you have these exceptions that don't really seem to fit. It sounds like when you, Lefi, you know, to the run, the Isra Chalamoid is Daraisa, so the exceptions to them, it sounds, you know, are Dirabanan type exceptions. Right? This is the same thing about, it's also true about Inuyin. Like, how do you have the Kala? So, are we talking about the Nevis here? Why would that be? It sounds like these are, you know, they understood. When you say something like Most Tarah Lechachamim, so it doesn't mean that there's no Deraisa, like those who think it's just purely Deraisa. What it means is there's a Deraisa, but the Rabbanim have the ability to legislate what that Deraisa is. There it's really legislating what the Deraisa is. Because there's, you know, and therefore they can make the exceptions whatever they want. They don't need to be saying, like, what is. Interpreting what's malacha in the Torah, because you would never come to the idea that malacha is this accepted tzavarav. That doesn't make sense. Tzavarav is a tzarev kind of thing. It's not a question of what's malacha. So it sounds like the Rabbanan had the ability to sort of legislate what they wanted then in these areas, but that's still not Torah. That's more of a. I think that concept exists. I think it's a little bit more even mechudish than this. Okay. All right. I got it. So that's just in terms of the makor, in terms of, and particularly for the issue of the Rambam. Okay, so the next thing to I wanted to point out is quickly the fact that there is indeed, according to all these opinions essentially, a connection between Hashivas and Shema M. But ultimately, we have different understandings of what that relationship is. But I just say connection between what? Hashivas and the Marsha, that's correct. One understanding is the understanding in the extreme, which is the Rambam's, and I take it also Rabbi Shorashi, which is essentially that the principle really is Devar Chashuv. That's the actual halakhic legal principles, Devar Chashuv. Rambam took it in the extreme to the extent that that's all that really, that's an independent, Minatora, that's all that's formulated, is all you need is Devar Chashuv, is Bama Chashuv. Right, so it's really, Shteimin is really just sort of an after the fact kind of translation of that. The less extreme version of this first approach would be to say that the Torah is, even if you want to say it's Midaraisa, let's say, but the Minatorah, it's the Torah is translating for you what Chashivus is. So the principle is really Chashuv. What is Chashuv? The Torah tells you that too. But the point is, you need Mamon Chashuv, which Torah tells you is Shemin. I think you can interpret some of the languages of the Rigash in that sense, that the principle Davar Chashuv is the principle of the Torah. It also is translated to particulars of the Torah. Shemin. But ultimately, then, the principle is you need Davar Chashuv. Versus, I think the one which would disentangle the most Hashivas and Shemen is the idea of the Rimigash, where the Rimigash basically sounds like he's saying, right, that it is Davar Chashuv, but that's really just sort of a time of the crook. Right, the Rimigash is saying that the Torah is telling you why you need the Shemen, but what did the Torah actually say you need? It didn't say you need Hashivas, it said you need the Shemen. Why? Chashivas. Why would the Torah want to tell us that? Because it's telling you why. This is again just how it came up in the Rimigash. The Torah is telling you why, when it comes to Caitlin, you don't need statement N. The Torah said you need either statement N or Kli. Right? It wanted to explain to you why that is. So the Torah Shalpeh came to explain to you. The reason that the Torah is saying that is because why did you need statement N for Chashivas? For Caitlin, you don't need a significant sum to meet the standard of Chashivas. It's just by inherently Chashuv. Right? But, so ultimately, though, what was actually the operative, normative, legal principle? You need Chashivas? No. Shtem en, Kli. What's it not going to mean? Potentially. I think a potential not being is the Tosfos appointment here. Right? The Tosfos seems to entertain the notion that Shtem en minus less than a Shvei Pruta would be fine, would be good enough. Because what they discuss is the topic which will come back a little later, not in Sheikh Ezef, but in the Min, although in Nitana. But they seem to say is that if you're dealing with the Mapeya Belit Zura, they're trying to explain how you could have it that the two Me'en Belit Zuras would be enough, in as much as it costs money to mint it. Rashi is told to be in the first group of Mapeya Zura, Lotano Mishkal Zeh. Okay. So in the end they say, Tosfos is just assuming that you could have a ma'ah, if it's not minted, wouldn't have the value of the ma'ah. Because the value of the labor in minting them would have to be subtracted. Inasmuch as that's true, so then how can you have this din? So they say, but they say, maybe... You know, they imply that you could have said, maybe, you know what, the amount that it costs the mint is actually Pazos and Shirguta. Right? And if it's Pazos and Shirguta, so that would be an answer. They say you can't say that, not because it doesn't make legal sense, but because Manifestation is that you would find the mint coins like that to be less than a Shirguta. So it doesn't sound like it's saying, even if you say that it is Pazos and Shirguta, it wouldn't matter. It would still be less than Tumah, somewhat. It would be Tumah minus Pachas Rebuta, but let's say it's 0.5 of Rebuta. Doesn't sound like he's saying it still wouldn't matter. He's saying it just doesn't say that you have such a little Fisar. But in Echinami, let's say you didn't have the problem making that strange claim, maybe we would say that it doesn't cost a Rebuta. That would actually be fine. Then you don't have a Kasher. Tumah minus Pachas Rebuta is fine. That's what emerges from Tosfos, right? So you saw the Ksos says, what? How can that be? Tumas, you need Tumas. If it's minus anything, if it's Tumas minus something, and that something is not zero, then it's not Tumas. Right? So if it's 0 point, so then it's not Tumas. That's the closest question. Everybody see it? Mm-hmm. Right there, Ksos? Now just to point out here, because a bunch of things I'm not so 100% sure about. One of them is Tosfos' point here so obvious? Is the Tosfos' point, rather, so obvious? Is it obvious, let's say, hey, slime minus a positive root that would be not sufficient? Maybe you say, economically speaking, we don't deal with units, Tosfos for me, shvei
root.
So, you think the issue is that we round up?
I'm asking.
I don't know, maybe you don't. Maybe you say, if you're not one, you're zero. It doesn't sound like this is a rounding issue.
Right.
Right? I just don't know. So it's, I don't recall it, so it's providing evidence that he just says
this is the dinner
that he says heislaim minus a pachas pruta. Obviously, I mean, if you could have heislaim that somehow wouldn't on the market get you heislaim, but let's say heislaim minus a pachas pruta. I'm not sure that's economically the case.
Is it in the context of pigeon or better? Is it in the context?
Wherever you need, yeah. He just assumes it's devar pshutim, that where the Torah gives you shurim, economic shurim, money, there has to be a certain amount of money.
That's a halachic point.
So the pachas of shebruta doesn't count. What?
That's a halachic point, not an economic point. I mean, that could be the difference when the answer is going to be bethashimus.
But I'm saying before I get to that, I'm not sure that, let's say it's not hashivus.
I'm saying, how are we categorizing it though? We're categorizing it as economic din by a pigeon or better?
No, what I'm saying is, it's just, let's assume it's a shear. It's a shear. Of $5.
A halachic shear or economic?
Yeah. Right, let's say you were to have 5 slime, but the coins weren't minted. So let's assume it's ever pasha, then obviously, if the labor costs anything, if it's on zero, then it has to come out of the value, and that'll be obviously it's not the shear. Then I just don't know that that's so obvious.
Isn't it a product of trade, though?
That's the difficulty in all of this is no. I think no.
So how do they determine what was 5 slum?
There's a historical development of money. When there was no minting, it was all based on weight. That's right. So the value was its weight. But once you had minting, the government is saying this is worth something. Now, originally, that government's worth was really just the government. This is how they described it. They explained it. The evolution of it was just the government being able to sort of get around the problem of having to weigh everything. So the government would themselves weigh, and then just based on their authority, you'd accept that. But then it came about, and this I think is already maybe we'll even get this on this. This already I think is something which comes up in the Gemara too, that you can fluctuate the weight and it's all the same value. I believe that is what?
I was just repeating.
Yeah, meaning that you can let's say take some of the weight out of the coin, but if it's still let's say as an example, if even though it doesn't weigh as much, but the coin still has the tsura on it, it might still be worth the same amount. Historically speaking, it seems like that was the case, that governments would take some of the weight out just to make people to make more of them. But the assumption was that it didn't change the value. The next day, you were still able to use that same, that same amount to buy the same amount of milk.
I
think this is what it gets into a larger question. It if you ask me, it's illegal. That's a very interesting question. Why the money? The answer to that question, I was talking to Sam about it. It's that which is used to as trade for goods and services that people want. It's the means, it's the medium,
yes,
of exchange. So, right? I mean, we don't have to want to. It's not. I could trade something that I need for something that you need. That's not very helpful because it's not always. You need a coincidence of I need what you have and you have what and you need what I have. So money is what serves as the middle thing, right? It's the thing that you collect that can always be traded. Now, that could work. That's what money is. Now, what serves that purpose is historically evolution. Originally, it was precious metals, and it was based fully on their weight. Eventually, when the tsura came along, it translated. It became, there was a transition, it seems. This I don't know myself, but I've read up a little bit on it. Is that originally that was, even with the minting, it was still originally just purely based on weight, but the minting came along just to say, okay, we waited, the government waited, and that's how much it has, and therefore you don't need to bring your scale with you. That happened, they think, around the 7th century before the Common Era. But eventually it was, and what is money today? What sort of money today? Is what they call fiat money.
It's $1 is $1 gold.
No. That was when they had a gold standard. They're off that. They offer that. They're off of that for a long time now. It's just legal tender. The government says this can be taken. Right? All you need it to be able to do is for something that people will trade for. Why would they trade for it? That already had different answers. Either because it inherently is something which is extremely valuable, and people always want it, right? therefore, because of that, and therefore it serves as a good thing to use for money. Or it could be because the government, you have a government whose authority is accepted, right, who says that in our jurisdiction, this is to be accepted as legal tender for a certain value. It would, and this is kind of, again, I don't even want to get into this so much, but halakhically speaking, that's one of the signature definitions of a government. Is that its money is accepted? It's matbeos kriptos. When the government says, "Take this," you know, as legal tender, so it's really what we're trading on is the authority of the government. The government says you need to take this. If people actually then therefore take it, you see their authority is accepted. That's the Rambam says. The Rambam says it in the context of Emuna, defining dina machus dina. What's a machus dina that whose dina it matters? So it says if they're matbeos kriptos, and then what's the explanation? Precisely this. The authority is accepted. People say, government says, we'll take this money. And you see that it actually serves as money. It's the purpose the government that said, take it, has in mind. Right? Just by saying so, it's not enough. They have to actually, people have to care. If you see people care, and therefore it is something that can serve as money, it does serve as money, and that's the government's authority. Is therefore, it's a mafos, in the sense of dima hosdina is. So that's a complicated question, but I think that's the answer is that what, in order to money kesef, the mamon, right? What you're talking about is that which is, you know, the middleman in good trade, right? It serves for the middleman, and the question is what you use for it. So that went on historical evolution. At some point, it was purely a question of just the weight as a precious, the weight. I mean, it didn't before it was precious metals. It was, you know, things of wood, whatever, things that had use and people liked them and you know, you could always therefore trade it. You could always be ready to trade it. You'd be confident that anybody could be willing to take it. I could always get something for it, right? So it used to be just the weight of precious metals. That's what it was in the time of Avraham Avinu, probably. Vayish Gol, it literally means he weighed out the amount. That scales. And that's what the Torah, when it says do honest business, what does it say? Don't counterfeit bills. This is what they say. They weren't actually. I don't know that to be true. I just know that the archaeologists say they weren't actually minting presses. They didn't have coins minted yet. It says therefore don't have the scales be false, right? Because that's how you conduct your business. Eventually, the question. So, you know, it seems I just from what I've been able to pick up that originally the minting wasn't meant to get to provide some other. Other way to get to enable something to function as money. It was just a way of, you know, announcing this thing has that weight and without having to have the skills. But eventually people wanted the things that the government, you know, just authorized as having just because the government's authority is behind it regardless of what the weight was. And the term for money in this sense of function is taba. The Gemara called taba is what the payra. There's a slora and there's the money that's being used for it. Goods, the services, and then there's changing money is one of them has to be defined as the slur, one of them has to be defined as the money. Now, for me, being in halacha, I was talking to Sam about this extensively, in halacha, the just assumed legal principle is money's value doesn't change. Everything else, if you get more for it, it means that everything else's value changed. So in halacha, that has not been his, for instance, in Hilchos Rivets, right? About, you know, giving, you can't get back more. Well, what if the value of the money has changed? Halachically, there's no problem. I can give you $50, you give me $50 back. 10 years later, when the $50 is now worth $60 of value in terms of how much milk you're getting, right, it's still $50, halakhically. So you need to define what is the exchange. Okay, any event, the point that I'm making about Tosos is that the Tosos is that the Tosos assume that something similar regarding, let's say, hay slime for pigeon of N, you would for sure say it's no good. And not, you don't need to be thinking about it just because it's a shear of hay slime, so this is not hay slime. I'm not so sure that's not hay slime. Maybe halakhically that is hay slime. I'm not sure exactly what's going on economically, but maybe what we'll say halakhically at the very least is if it's pavos v'kruta, it's just not mammon. So you're not subtracting mammon from it. It's five. That's what you have. You have five slime of value there. Pavos v'kruta is not measured halakhically. I'm not sure. I don't know. But either way, so it's given his assumption. Asks, right, you assume that if we're talking about how much money you have, so the answer is obviously not going to be five. Slime, and here it isn't going to be payment end because it's minus, and the minus wasn't zero. Because Papa's proof that even if it's not, you know, a unit, it's still something. So So therefore, you had to sit prep. So here's where, Sam, the point you made was, which precisely maybe the nafkamina, I think, is, depends maybe on what you're assuming regarding the shear. Yeah? So say it out.
So if the shear is the principle is chashev and the application is shteimah.
That's extreme, most extreme. But extreme. I would say even if you say, maybe, I think, even if you say the less extreme version, that we have in the Torah both the principle and the application. I think it also would be
once there's a principle,
right.
a base principle at play, then the principle is not shifted with something that's less than a shear fruta.
Right. In other words, the shteimah is a shear chashivas. So maybe you have that shear chashivas, even if, technically speaking, it's two and minus a little bit. Right? Whereas if you say, I think, let's say as an example, if you say the Ruma Gash's answer, that ultimately what did the Torah communicate to us you need is either two manas or a kli. Torah having to also give you some explanation why, but ultimately what it said was you need those two things, one of those two things, either a kli or shtei mana. Then I think, then again, given all the assumptions of the Ksos and whatever's going on economically with Ksos, but given the assumptions of the Ksos, you have a good question, right? How can that be if it's not two men? That was the shear. That could be enough for me, right? To what extent the chashivas is actually defines the actual halachic form, the most extreme, Sam, is by saying that all it is just chashivas. Tum'en came later, in a sense. I'm saying, even if you say that, let's say, tum'en came simultaneously, but it came as the translation of shir, you need two chashu, you need mama chashu, which is tum'en, even then I think you have room to say, okay, so inasmuch as the Tum'en was really just a translation of Chashu, even if it was simultaneous translation. But if it's just Chashu, so then, all right, Tum'en minus Shri Pruta, maybe it takes that would be a problem. So that's a good answer if it were, you know, not Duff to say that that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. Okay? So just that would be one of, you know. All right. How much time do we have?
18 minutes.
All right, so 18 minutes, a mil.
Sorry, 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. What? It's a mil according to everyone. I'm sorry, that's a mil from the Rambam. It's supposed to survive mil from everybody else, right? So, it's enough to get, you know, matzah today. All right. All right, let's just look a little bit into the next part of our topic, which is now transitioning really into... from the issue of the source of this halacha, into the nature of it, and more particular, in particular in terms of the actual scope, what requires sheikh esed. So first, here we encounter sort of what requires sheikh esed, and we can even put it as what requires kesef chashuv. Although, according to one understanding of this, it wouldn't be a relevant point legally speaking. Chashuv is just the background to the Torahs. But either way, what requires this? That's the question. So here we have just first the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel held that what requires this? Alright, what was Shita Shmuel here?
Taina.
The initial taina, how much I'm claiming from you. And, right? And the kfira could be even just a pruta. Right? But the initial taina needs to be shtemin. So translating everything we're saying, right? So that would mean you need to have a taina chashuba, let's say. It needs to be taina of mama chashuba. You need to be claiming something, sigimin mamon. That's what you need. For Rav, or the simplest way to say it is, he doesn't agree with that. He doesn't think the taina needs to be significant. What needs significance? The mamon that you're taking a shvu about. Kfira / the mamon that you're taking a shvu about. Let's just put it that way. Okay? Yeah. Well, what we want to look into now is just understanding more. In particular, Shita Rav, we'll get to Shita Shmuel too. Understanding more, understanding what requires chashuv, why does it require chashuv, what's the nature of that halacha, what kind of halacha is this? And here, I think the major direction to look into is just the scope. What requires, which shvuos require sheikh esed? So here, you encounter one question regarding shvuos deraisa, and the second regarding shvuos derabanan. We have them, of course, here for the question of shvuos deraisa, which we'll deal with first. That'll lay out these sodas for us. So first, let's just outline what requires among the shvuos deraisa. So which ones require sheikh esed? So here, what we know for sure requires sheikh esed is shvuos mun demikzas. Everything else, not so clear. Regarding shvuos edatha, what do we find?
The Gemara
itself says
it doesn't require.
It is not required. But why is that? Maybe not the last word on the tablet.
The shvuos.
Because Tosfos says, maybe that's only the Shita Shmuel.
Right.
Right? And already in Tosa's answer, in Tosa's reasoning for that, you kind of get what we're looking for a little bit, in terms of just, you know, the nature of the halacha. Tosa basically says what? Says that if you say that this is, right? Why is it inconsistent with the Rav, let's say? We're not going to go into depth, but just point out that Tosa already points directions here. Why if I hold like Rav, is it then doesn't make sense to say that there is this chiluk between Mojim Mixes and Eidefa? You guys notice that? Right. What was the point? Meaning, Karpin tells you what?
That Nadef is not going to always be the Chayav Yeshua in cases where normally you wouldn't be the Chayav Yeshua.
Okay. Okay. I think it's good. So you could say better. I think the point would be that if it's a din in things which are subject to taking a shvua about, right? Then the assumption was based on karka, based on the model of karka, then that's something that will be universal among the shvuas, right? If something is you take right when it comes to the varim shenishbayin aleihem, right? Those are things that we don't have chilukim for, at least not pimod nuisus in edahed. There's only not also shoshu shomer. Right, when you say karka and the rai was karka was only specifically clearly said about shows when it makes us and shomer. Right, the psukim there dealing with that, but we assume eidachad. Well, what is supposed to the same thing is obviously true about eidachad. Also, happens to be what Tosos was pashut, and I think most of Shomer was pashut. The Tosos read in Hebrew. That's something we'll get to with eidachad. And when we get to karka, we decided which one we'll discuss that, but. Those were thought that actually no, Eidachad is in the Chayav Shvua. But for most of them, that wasn't so. And they say, so you see that if something is Mufka Mishvua, and I only know it though from the context of Shvua and Mitzvah, so then I then know it also for right all the rest of the Shvuos. So what they say is, therefore, Lashitas Ra, they suggest, so what's the nature of this halacha? Einish Bain al Shtei Me'en. It's something which is not Mamon HaRoi Lishavala. Not it's a moment that is mukka from taking shavuos upon it. Defines the chetza shouldn't shvana. So for Rav, right, Tosa says this din. If this for Rav, this din is something like karkos. Karkos ain't shvana leihem. They just don't administer shavuos. We'll get to refining all this more. Just general direction. They don't administer shavuos or aren't mechayev shavuos on certain kinds of things, certain kinds of commodities. We just aren't the din is that we just don't have shavuos about on them. Right? So karka is one, and for Rav, Shtei Kesef is another. Then it doesn't make sense to say that it will be true specifically where the Torah says it, but not regarding it. It's a din she'enish bainalav, so that means, what it makes us, also means it. Right? It's only the Shita Shmuel. Why? Because the Shita Shmuel, that's not the nature of this halacha. That's not the gather of this halacha. It's not a din she'enish bainalav or not bainalav. It's rather, what? For Shmuel, what does it do? What requires Kashivas, that's what I would say. It's not the mammon that you're nishba love, but rather
the taina
chashuva, right? In fact, for Shmuel, it's clear that nishbayim, right? It's not for the mammon nishbayin love. You're nishbayin on pachas me, even in mitzvahs. You're nishbayin on pruta, right? Rather, it's a din b'tainas. Maybe it's a din b'tainas taina for one that mitzvahs. Maybe it's a din for taina generally. We'll come back to that. What would I'm supposed to say about Shoshurim, the Shita Shmuel? But the point is, for the Shmuel, then, inasmuch as it's a din b'taina, you need, let's say, a taina chashuva, a taina zman chashuv, right? But Shmuel, you take a Shmuel. It has nothing to do with the Shmuel. It's a din in the trigger for the fee of Shmuel when it makes us. That requires a taina chashuva. It is not a din in mamon shenish b'ayinah. Now, for me to being, even if in the end that taina leads to a question of ultimately simply less than a less than two men, even just a pruta nishbana. Okay, so already you get some direction from Tosos that on the one hand maybe is a din in terms of defining what you're taking a shvu upon, right? Versus a din in terms of, let's say, the trigger for modu mitzvahs in terms of the nature of the taina that started the discussion, but not necessarily defining what is right to take a shvu upon. Already you see some of that in Tosos. So Tosos then thinks that Eidachad actually, you're also Machayev, with Shitas Rav that we pass in like, there's also a din of Shtekezet Beit Echad, right? Then you come to, yeah, most of them think that's not true, but what you have more of a substantial focus is regard to the other Shvuah Deraisa, namely Shvuah Shtarmin, right? Here you have, what do people say about this? Zuri Gash, the Rambam, right? Who else?
What about Balmor?
No.
Balmor says, what are we talking about, yes or no?
Well, the Rambam.
Balmor is against Rambam.
What is Rambam then?
You wouldn't
is there a Dinshay Kesef for Shvuah Shtarmin?
No.
No Dinshay Kesef for Shvuah Shtarmin. So for the Rambam Gash, it emerges, right? This din is unique to Mondo Mixer. Right?
Does the Rambam agree?
Yeah, and the Rambam. But he says Balmor. Balmor
says that, we're talking about what's not required. But who wouldn't require?
Balmor requires.
Yeah, oh, if I didn't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The Rambam Gash, the Rambam, the Raivi, right? And some others as well. They say that you don't require shekesef for Shvuah Shtarmin. So according to them, just in terms of understanding the din, we have to note that this din, for them, is a din unique, specific to one of the mikzvos, at least among the Shvuah Deraisa. Other Shvuah think otherwise, and they disagree.
Yishvayim Menotan is there about.
Yes, the Yishvayim Menotan is always there about. Right? Kol Yishvayim Betorah is in Yishvayim Menotan Shaman. Right? That's actually, when we get to that, we'll see. That's actually, not just that it turns out that way, it actually, that's a legal principle. We actually, in the Pasuk, this is how many of them interpret it, the Pasuk actually doesn't even tell, it says, Shvuah Hashem, Tiyavin Shnayim. How do we know that the Shvuah Shomrim is specifically the Nitva, not the Toveya? That's because, V'lagaf Ba'alav, V'lo Yishalim. Misha Alav Yishava, who, right, Misha Alav Hayal Yishalim, who Yishava. So we only actually know, it's not just that the Torah says, he takes the Shvuah, not him. The principle of the Shvuah that the Torah said, that the Chazal understood, was the Torah tells you that all Shvuahs that it is requiring are upon the Nitva, not the Toveh. So it's a legal principle. It's not just that we don't find it. It was said that Shvuah's Torah needs to be on the Nitva. But either way, what emerges then is that regarding Shvuah's rights, that we have, on the one hand, right, we have the possibility that, let's say this is universally required. All Shvuah Deraisa require Shekesef. Right? That would be the Shita of probably, I would assume, Balm or the right? All these Rishonim that disagree with the Rambam and the Rambam Gash, right? The Ramban, Rush, Shvuah Shtarmin requires. I'm sorry. The possibility of, one possibility that emerges is let's say, probably for Tosfos, very likely, it'll be all Shvuah Shtarmin. All Shvuah Sadems, right? Because those think that even the Eid Echad, it's only the Shitas Shmuel, but the Shitas Rav, presumably this is the universal din, right? Then you have the other extreme, which is what emerges according to the Rambam Gash, the Rambam, Kudimav, that this din is unique to Shvuah Shtarmin makes us, right? Then you have the middle opinions, the middle approaches, right? Which is that, the one that you find explicit at least is that it's something which is required to it. Right, it's required both of Shvuah Shtarmin and Shvuah Madmitzvos. Eid Echad is on the ends. Just in terms of that, the outline, okay, so we have basically three approaches. We want to now understand the nature of this halacha, and I think it's quite clear that we're going to have to use the varying shittas here in terms of getting at that. It seems like it would be a very different din if this is something unique to Mother Mixos, than it is if it isn't. Okay, so, yeah?
So just according to the Rambam and the Rambam Yash, would they take Tosus' approach about Rav and say, like, you passed it like Rav?
They don't.
So maybe they just read the Gemara completely?
They don't, I mean, most of them don't take Tosus. I mean, most of them think that the Gemara is saying something that's true of who they are.
Right.
In theory, as I'm saying, you don't, I mean, I said the one you find is this. You don't find anybody saying, you don't find anybody saying that Eid Echad and Madmitzvos require and Shvuah Shtarmin does not. We can consider it ourselves, but just in terms of the actual opinions that we find people taking, it isn't there. theory, if you accept the Tosfos, and then also accept the Rambam Gash, then you would have to come to that. I don't think there anybody does that. Part is what?
Because Rambam Gash focuses on Kfirah and Shvuah Shtarmin.
He says it. It is. What would you mean?
You're saying that no one would be mechala between eight echad and shvua.
But he is not would be, but
the rishi gashay.
He thinks you need the one to mix us.
You need to entertain the habit to show shvua shvua and then accept it.
Exactly.
The question is there someone who thinks that you need a unique shekhesa for 8 echad and for both 8 echad and 1 mitzvah? In theory, you would have that if you agree to the Megash regarding Shuva Shomrim and also a Tosus regarding 8 echad. I don't see that in part because I don't know anybody who agrees with the Tosus. And I don't think the Tosus agrees with the but it's something we could consider in the cigar. I think we'll, I just leave it at. Alright, so let's just leave it at this. Right, subsequently we're going to want to try to understand the nature of this halacha, and in particular, whether or not that varies within the shitos. Start with that Tuesday, right?
What's Monday?
Because now we're on our,
sure.
Monday is a non-shear day. Okay.
What's the third one? We got to follow more. What's the third category?